Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express in Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Early in Jesus' earthly ministry, he and his disciples attended a marriage celebration in Cana of Galilee. He brought to everyone's attention that day that he was not just an ordinary man. At the marriage at Cana, his first miracle, rich in symbolism and meaning, set the stage for presenting the gospel to the nation of Israel and also to the entire world. Today's message is on a topic that has caused much confusion within the Christian community, especially these last 80 years or so. The central topic of this miracle at Cana is the wine. The word wine is rich in meaning throughout the scriptures. It is used 231 times in the King James Bible. If you listen for the next several weeks, to the end of this series, you will learn that wine has a dual meaning when it comes to discussing the juice extracted from the grape. There is alcoholic wine and there is non-alcoholic wine. This is the great misconception, that few pastors take the time to differentiate when interpreting the scriptures. If you use the word wine as currently defined in our modern everyday language to mean alcoholic wine, you will be utterly confused when you encounter the word in the Bible. The context surrounding the word and the many other supporting passages will help shape the proper understanding of the dual nature of the term wine. I hope, sincere Christian, that this will clarify things for you and change your opinion about drinking alcoholic beverages. Abstaining from alcohol and avoiding drunkenness is God's command for the born-again believer that loves Him and His Word. The Marriage at Cana, Part 3.
In Nehemiah chapter 10, it says, "And that we should bring the first fruits of our dough." Well, that's where the expression comes from. We call money dough, right? The dough, the slang term. Give me your dough. Well, first fruits of our dough. Well, that's actually dough there. That was the dough. And our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithe in all the cities of our tillage. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers. So the new wines, sometimes the Bible uses the word new wine, sometimes just says wine. But new wine here. Where are the vessels of the sanctuary? Where are the vessels of the sanctuary and the priests that minister and the porters and the signers? And we will not forsake the house of our God. That's Nehemiah speaking to the remnant that returned to the land to keep the sanctuary going and the offerings going and bringing in the tithes for the Levitical priests. The Song of Moses. We read at the end of his life, just before he died, Deuteronomy 32. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, O and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine," kine is the calf, "butter of kine, cow, milk of sheep, fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan." These were big stocked animals that were beefy and strong and powerful and provided a lot of meat and food and milk and butter, "and goats with the fat of the kidneys of wheat." What is the fat of the kidneys of wheat? That's speaking of the fat grains, the nugget, the kernel that comes out of the wheat, fat of kidneys of wheat, the kernel, "and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grapes." The pure blood of the grapes. New wine, grape juice. "The land of Judah will be blessed in the kingdom age. The land will be rich in abundance of food." It tells us here in Joel, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine." Now, in the kingdom age, do you think there's going to be alcoholic wine? No. The Lord's not going to tolerate drunkenness. You're supposed to rule with a rod of iron. We're going to keep that from taking place in the kingdom age, those who will rule with Christ. Why does it say the mountains shall drop down new wine? Well, where are vineyards usually located? In an area where you don't have plains and planting crops, you usually put the vineyards on slopes of gradual hills and mountains where you cannot do the tillage. You cannot till the soil. And so you put your vineyards in more of a mountainous region, so that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with water, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Then will the Lord be jealous of his land, and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine. Again, repeating the same thing, we see this repeated. Oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. Vats, not the distillery, the vats. That word fat, that goes back to the old English alphabet, where the F and the V could be replaced with one or another. And so that's speaking of vats there. I think there's one other place in the King James where that word fat is has an S on it, and it's meaning vats. Shall overflow with wine and oil. The days of blessing. So by this you just take from the context, the blessings, you know it's got to be talking about grape juice, new wine. Doesn't always use the word new wine. But by the blessing, the Lord brings it up multiple times. The days of blessing are coming when the fields and vineyards will yield abundantly, tells us Amos. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes. There it is, treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. The mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. This is talking about that the land will be so abundant that the harvesters and the planters of each harvest season will be bumping into one another, as that there's so much to harvest in each group of crops and vineyards that there would be an overlap with the amount of the abundance coming out of the earth at that time in the kingdom age. And so it talks about the vineyard, it talks about the wine, it talks about the grape, the treading of grapes. The only time you see the word juice, used one time, it talks about pomegranate juice in the scriptures, one time. And so the vineyards will bring about a great abundance. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. The women will be cheered by the new wine. The men will be cheered by the corn and the abundance of corn. The corn shall make the young men cheerful, and the new wine the maids. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. New wine brings cheer to both God and man. As Jotham declared in a parable against the wickedness of his half-brother, the murderer, the usurper, and conspirator, Abimelech, in the time of the judges. Abimelech and Jotham were the sons of Gideon. Gideon had another name, Jerubbaal, also, but they are the sons. Gideon had 70 sons, multiple wives, 70 sons. Abimelech was the son of a concubine. Abimelech wanted to become king of Israel, and he killed all his brothers. except for Jotham. And Jotham ran away, got other people to see what his brother had done, the conspiracy, the usurper. He was a murderer, and Abimelech was then basically removed from power and assassinated. But horrible story. But he says, the vine saith unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And so that phrase is that wine that comes from the vine cheers God and man, brings cheerfulness. We'll talk about this, but let me just bear this out. Grape juice has great antioxidants and is very good for your body and very good fighter of cancer, to fight cancer. There's great medicinal purpose found in wine, in grape juice, drinking grape juice. Now, we don't have vineyards around us that we drink grapes, and none of us here have a vine grove and harvest grapes, but the fresh grape juice is very powerful and very helpful for our bodies. We drink Welchers or Kroger's or whatever, any of the other brands that are out there, and so they're not as healthy for you, but they still are healthy. You still are getting benefits, good benefits in that juice of the grape juice. Very good for your body, good for your health and the activity of your cells, keeping your cells active and being antioxidants. So, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food of the earth, the wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthen a man's heart. And so there's the medicinal effect of wine and oil, olive oil. Olives were abundant in that territory, in that land. Bread it strengthens a man's heart. It is indicative from Scripture that wine has a dual meaning that is central to all of the Word of God. You've heard me use this phrase before, the twofoldness of divine truth. Wine can either be defined as unfermented grape juice or fermented grape juice, which is alcoholic wine. Very few English dictionaries bear this out when defining the word wine. The word winepress endorses this explanation as clearly illustrated earlier in these notes. The context of the passage also helps to interpret the usage of the word wine. Now here's a quote from a company, Oculize, I think is the way you pronounce this, is a German company that makes high-end brewing equipment. They make electron microscopes to study the yeast and understand the yeast that's in brewing alcoholic wines, and understanding the concentration of the bacteria in the brewing process. Listen to this quote from them. The bottom line is this: without yeast, there would be no alcohol. Now, what did I teach about the Lord's Supper? Is there to be yeast in the bread? No. That's why we use that dry bread that has very little flavor and has no yeast to cause it to rise. We get that all the way from the time of Passover. And the same is with the wine that represents, or the fruit of the vine that represents the blood. There is to be no yeast in it, because yeast is leaven, and leaven speaks of sin. The bottom line is this: without yeast, there would be no alcohol. Fermentation, when it comes to beverages, any way means alcohol. No yeast, no fermentation, no alcohol. Wine becomes wine from grapes because of the fermentation process instigated by yeast. So, is grape juice just unfermented wine? Yes. Yes, it is. When it comes right down to it, unfermented wine means the grapes were never exposed to yeast, as it is very... Unfermented wine means the grapes were never exposed to yeast, as by its very nature, fermentation requires yeast. Thus, if you have no yeast, you have no fermentation, and you have grape juice, or sure, you can also call it unfermented wine. And that came from an article called "What Kind of Wine is Unfermented?" And that was on that what website of Oculize. So we don't have time to continue here, but next week we're going to look at the first three occurrences in the book of Genesis with the word wine and what took place. And then we're going to look at wine that brings an anathema. Is an anathema, means a curse. It brings a curse throughout the scriptures. And this is where you have to understand rightly dividing the word of truth, and understand this issue of fermentation, understand the yeast that's involved in fermentation, and that yeast is leaven in the Bible, and leaven speaks of sin. So we will look at this latter part next Sunday and deal with that. But I want to close here with Book of Romans. You can turn there or write it down and look at it. It's a familiar passage. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Romans chapter 12. "I beseech you," verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Here it is. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." We're not to be conformed to this world. Our thinking has to change. "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And the only way we can understand about alcohol, we'll look at strong drink next week, where the Bible uses talks about strong drink or mixed drink. Our minds have to be renewed. And the world is entrenched with alcoholism. And alcohol is a major aspect of the world. When Prohibition took place, went off the charts? Corruption, the mob, the bootlegging, all the speakeasies, but Prohibition stopped the common man from going from his job, his workplace, to the bar before he got home with no money. They don't make movies about that, just about the mob controlling the booze and all the bootlegging that went on. They don't make movies of men who finally just went from work to home instead of the bar, because the bars were shut down and provided food and money for their families to live on. They don't make the movies on that. That was from Prohibition 1920 to 1933. The 18th Amendment. Why are all these liquor stores, have the 21st Amendment liquor? Why is that? That was the repeal of Prohibition. Was the ratification of the 21st Amendment. And so that's why they say 21st. There's not going to be alcohol in the kingdom age. There will be no alcohol. It will not be permitted. I believe there's going to be such a high amount of oxygen that the fermentation process may not even be able to take place. I don't know if that's going to be true or not. But God's not going to allow drunkenness. He's not going to allow bars and casinos and all that kind of stuff and liquor stores to take place in his kingdom age. And so we just want to conform. For 30 plus years, I have not drank alcohol. And I was around it. My whole family drank it. They drank it like crazy. I drank it like crazy up to my 30s. And I did try 1 year before I got saved to stop drinking. I didn't drink for a whole year. But what my parents did in moderation, I did in excess. And, the Lord gives us strength, and we have to understand the Word of God is true, and the Word of God teaches us, and we'll see that next week even more clearly about abstaining from alcoholic wine. Now, this is a tough message. This is a tough message. We can go to a bunch of other churches around the city here and never hear that message. It's rough. It's a rough message. Trust me. I'm not speaking. The Lord is speaking. I'm telling you what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Lord is expecting from his children. And that we need to abstain. And the Bible is tough. It is tough. It's rough on us. And it needs to be rough on us. I have to stay away from it. And we'll talk about medicinal things next week when we get into that. But I have to stay away from it. So don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger. I'm not here to irk you. I'm here to get you broken for the Lord. Brokenhearted to be more like the Lord and understand the importance of abstaining from alcohol. You need to hear it. I need to hear it. I need to preach it, and you need to hear it.
You have been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express, 13625 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.